This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. A group of scientists at Harvard say they have made a major breakthrough in understanding multiple sclerosis. For years, they have been testing out a hypothesis that the Epstein-Barr virus causes MS. Yes, that's the same virus responsible for mononucleosis. Researchers analyzed a database of 10 million active duty military members, and they found that service members who contracted the Epstein-Barr virus were 32 times more likely to be diagnosed with MS. The research was published in the journal Science. To help us better understand this research and its impact is the study's senior author, Dr. Alberto Esquiero. He's a professor of epidemiology and nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Tell me about what you found. How were you able to determine that people who had previously contracted the Epstein-Barr virus were much more likely to be diagnosed with MS?
Right. We started with people who were not infected with the EBV virus. So we followed them over time for an average of 10 years. And basically, we found that those individuals who were not infected with EBV, they never developed MS. So only after they got infected with EBV, then the risk of MS jumped out over 30-fold.
Well, 10 million people, that's a pretty big sample, is it not?
Yeah, it was necessary because EBV infects virtually everyone. So it's not easy to find a large population of individuals who are not infected with EBV. So among the 10 million, only roughly 5% were EBV negative at the beginning of the study.
Now, tell us how this has changed how we understand MS as a disease.
Well, MS has been typically described even today as an autoimmune disease of unknown etiology, meaning we don't know the cause of it. So I think that should change to say we now know that MS is a rare complication. I want to emphasize rare complication of EBV infection. I don't want any listener to be scared, oh, I had mononucleosis, I'm going to get MS. The risk is still very small.
Okay, so you say it's very rare. Why do you think that EBV might be causing MS? What is the cause?
You know, we are quite confident that EBV is the cause. So it's a common setting for a virus to be relatively harmless in the majority of people, but cause a severe disease as a complication. A good example is poliomyelitis. Before we had a vaccine, the poliovirus would infect virtually every child in the country, but only 1 in 400 children would get paralytic disease.
Now, MS is an autoimmune disease, correct? The body attacks itself. What is the mechanism, you might think, that EBV causes this to happen?
Immunity and autoimmune plays an important role as a mechanism. But I don't think the definition of autoimmune disease gives the full story. So this is the complication of a viral infection in which the immune system plays an important role in the pathology.
Now, I understand that you've had a hunch for a while that Epstein-Barr was one of the main drivers of MS. Were you surprised, though, by the strength of this relationship between EBV and MS?
I was surprised by how clear-cut the results were. I did expect a strong association, but I didn't expect to be so black and white, because almost never in science you see a result that are so neat. So we look not only at Epstein-Barr virus, we also had several controls in our study. One is the CMV virus, which is a virus transmitted in a similar manner to EBV. And what we found is that there is absolutely no association between CMV infection and the MS. Now, in addition, we did a screening of all the human virons. So we look at antibody responses against all the non-human viruses. And all the signals that came out were signals from EBV peptides. So it was really astonishing to see there was no noise, no false signal coming from anywhere else. EBV is so strong that overwhelms everything else.
Now, do we know why some people, you talked about how rare it is to get EBV and then develop MS. Do we know why some people do develop MS from EBV?
we know that there are some factors that once you're infected with EBV, your risk may be related to your genetic susceptibility that can increase the risk by 2-3-fold. We previously discovered that vitamin D deficiency is a risk factor for MS. It can double your risk. Cigarette smoking can double your risk of MS, and childhood obesity may cause an increase of 40-50%. So these factors together modulate the risk, but EBV stand out with a different magnitude.
Have you found a cause and effect yet, or is this basically just a relationship that you've discovered?
I believe it's the cause and effect, and some people will question that. But as you know, even the link between smoking and lung cancer is being questioned. So there is no experimental evidence directly that you randomize people to smoke or not smoke and get or not get lung cancer. We are in the same realm of evidence. This is a longitudinal study, rigorously controlled in a lab population, and there is not really alternative plausible explanation. Now, when we say cause in epidemiology, we mean if we could prevent EBV infection, we are going to prevent MS. You prevent A, B will not happen. It doesn't mean we fully understand all the molecular mechanisms.
That leads me to my next question, which is, how might this discovery help find better treatments or even a cure for MS?
Well, the current treatment of MS, the most effective drugs are called anti-CD20 antibodies or ocrelizumab. Ocrevus is the commercial name. So the effect of this drug is to deplete the B cells. The B cells are part of our immune system and are the primary site of persistence of the EBV virus in our body. So EBV, once it infects one person, will remain in the B cell for the rest of this person's life. So I think anti-CD20 are so effective because they deplete the B cell, and by depleting the B cells, they also take away the virus. So it would make sense to target the virus directly with antiviral drug instead of depleting the B cells, which are an important part of the immune system.
Could you target the virus as a vaccine to prevent infection, or could you target it also after the MS has occurred?
Both are possible. There is ongoing research on a vaccine. Moderna is a vaccine in a phase one experimentation against EBV. Now, a vaccine to prevent MS would have to prevent EBV infection. If the vaccine does not fully prevent infection, it's difficult to predict what the effect of MS on MS could be.
Is this Moderna clinical trial using an mRNA technology you're talking about, is it very exciting for you?
It is. It's a very early phase. So It will take a few years before a vaccine is ready for large-scale experimentation. And also, because EBV infection typically occurs in childhood, to see where it prevents MS will take several years more. So we have to be patient. It's a long-term project.
And so where do you go from here? What's your next step?
Well, As I mentioned, we are collaborating with clinical groups trying to test antiviral drugs in people with MS. We are trying to get funding for that. I think that that's the most exciting part. In terms of the epidemiology, I think it would be also very useful if you could predict among these people who are being infected, who is going to get MS and who is not going to get MS. So more work on biomarker is also another line of investigation that we are pursuing.
You know, anytime somebody calls something a breakthrough in medicine, other people say, wait just a minute, that's a big term to use, breakthrough. Do you consider this a real breakthrough?
I do, but it's not easy to change people's mind. You know, once you've been thinking on a disease in a certain way for 20, 30 years and for your entire career, it is not easy to change the mindset and accept that we have a new paradigm.
What are your colleagues saying about this? Are they excited about this, or are they still saying, hey, you know, we need to see some more evidence?
It's a very, very widespread go from people who are very excited and entirely agree with us, you know, then you have the you know, people deny the evidence and everything in between. I think, you know, it's very, very diverse.
What do you attribute your success to? Is it just dogged determination that you were going to find something here and go through all those viruses and come up with some cure?
No, it was the right intuition, the right hypothesis in the beginning was key to this. The identification of the right population, the patience in establishing a long series of complex collaboration with multiple institutions, and having an amazing team of collaborators here and there within the military that made this possible. It was 20 years of work literally to complete this research.
There are going to be people who have MS who are going to say, hey, there's a cure around the corner.
Right. For people who have MS, I think, yeah, I would be excited on one hand, but also understand that the time frame for these things is measured in years. So short term would be 5 years. Let me say this. You know, my over-optimistic view to translate this into a new treatment, I would give myself 5 years of time in the best possible scenario.
And finally, does this have implications for how we understand diseases perhaps, or the mechanisms perhaps for Alzheimer's or chronic fatigue syndrome, where, you know, a virus may be involved and we just don't know that yet?
Right. Well, it showed that, yes, in some way, that it showed that we don't really fully understand the viruses and the effect that they have in the long term. So we are particularly interested in a disease like Alzheimer's. There is a lot of interest in a potential effect of infection, the potential contribution of infection to Alzheimer's disease. And that is an area that our group is initiating to explore, and also in relation with ALS, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. But we are very much behind compared to, the, you know, maybe I hope it will take less than 20 years, but it will take time before we can elucidate those associations.
Well, Dr. Asquiero, congratulations to you on the publication of your paper, and we wish you good luck.
Thank you very much. Huge pleasure to be talking with you.
Dr. Alberto Asquiero, professor of epidemiology and nutrition at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios.